essentially, I've listed like the sort of main extension points where you would need to that you need to implement in order to have a storage plugin. The first one is the data store provider. So this is essentially a way for CloudStack to reference this particular type of storage. The second one is data store lifecycle. So this is the interface that deals with attaching and removing a particular type of storage. The next one is data store driver. This is sort of the meat of your storage plugin. This has functions like create volume, delete volume, resize volume, etc. Lastly, we have the sort of UI component. So if you have any particular need for getting input from the user in the provisioning process, this can be implemented with the UI component. Now you guys should check out the talk given by Rohit from SharePlue and Anurag, I think he's not here, about their modern iteration of the UI, which is much easier to extend than the sort of retro version we have currently. So once you have all of these pieces, your plugin basically is its own Maven project. It compiles into a neat little package that you plug into CloudStack. At this point, I guess, hope everyone has a high-level understanding of how plugins are leveraged to implement storage orchestration in CloudStack. In the next bit, we're going to look at some of the recent changes around storage orchestration.
One quick question.
Yeah.
The storage you're talking about right now, it's a plugin or it's like built in already?
So, yeah, I kind of glossed over that. So essentially, you have a storage appliance. Like, if you take the example of SolidFire, it is a physical device which has a bunch of drives in it that you plug into your cloud. So in order to plug it into your CloudStack cloud, you need a storage plugin, which essentially knows how to orchestrate the stuff that you plugged in. All right. So a lot of work has been done around managed storage. All of these changes were done by Mike Tatowski from SolidFire and collaborating with others. Most of these are related to KVM. Not gonna spend like too much time getting into the details of these changes. You guys could look them up on GitHub. I'll just go over some like high-level examples just so that you guys have an idea of the types of things that you do with managed storage. So one of the top or things that we kind of referenced earlier was that the ability to have primary storage at the zone level instead of the cluster level. So as we saw previously, when we're using NFS, we have no sort of concept of the underlying implementation of the storage. However, when you're using a specific type of SAN appliance like SolidFire, the SolidFire API gives CloudStack more granular control over the storage. So as a result of this, using concepts like provisioned IOPS as well as access control, you're able to share a primary storage across different clusters in your deployment. Another issue that people face when migrating from a legacy sort of storage implementation to a managed storage implementation is how to manage their workloads. We talked quite a bit about how the storage plugin helps with orchestration. This is an example of that. So the storage plugin can now sort of help users migrate their workloads from their legacy into managed storage, relatively automated. Previously this would be a manual process where you'd have to have like a team of cloud sysadmins manually migrating your workloads. Another feature that's kind of implemented through a managed storage plugin is leveraging snapshotting capabilities that are implemented in the storage appliance. So if we kind of take the example of KVM, KVM natively supports snapshotting when you're using file-based storage, and the disks are in the QCOW format. But when you're using managed storage with KVM, KVM doesn't know how to make the managed storage do a snapshot. But the managed storage knows how to create snapshots of the volumes that it's managing. So the way that we can take advantage of this is to have CloudStack call the API of the managed storage, and the managed storage, you know, is much closer to its disks, and it knows much more about them. It has, specifically SolidFire has many capabilities around, you know, deduplicating data and compression. So it's the best way to take a snapshot. It'll be done in the most efficient way if you have your storage appliance do the snapshot instead of trying to make a copy of the volume by just duplicating the disk outside of the SAN. Those are like some of the sort of high-level features that were recently implemented around managed storage. I haven't gone into all of them. We can talk in more detail later if you guys are interested in the other changes. The next section, I'd like to present a few issues that were reported by customers using managed storage. Let's get into those. So we had a customer report saying that they recently switched from using NFS to using SolidFire. And what they noticed was that when they were trying to create a VM, their NFS VM would spin up in less than a minute. And when they're trying to create a VM backed by SolidFire, it would take upwards of 5 minutes. One thing to note about this customer is that they had a relatively large deployment. So they had off the order of thousands of VMs, and they had some automated snapshotting mechanisms. So they had off the order of 10,000 snapshots. And we kind of had trouble reproducing the issue in the lab because, you know, labs don't have that many things in them. So it was quite an interesting journey trying to figure out what was causing the slowdown. Just a quick refresh for our, you know, CloudStack newbies. I just have a diagram of how an API call works in CloudStack. So CloudStack has an embedded HTTP server. I think we used Jetty. Previously, it was Tomcat. So your API call goes to your API servlet. Usually, the API calls are in the form of commands. And the API calls are of two types, so synchronous and asynchronous. Synchronous calls are usually database lookups, and asynchronous calls are more sort of orchestration type activities, which take longer. So as soon as your call goes into CloudStack, you get a response right away in both cases. In one case, you get back some information. In the other case, stuff happens in the background and you sort of wait for the result. In this picture, we see an example of a command being executed. So there's the depiction of the kernel, which has the orchestration logic. The sort of provisioning specific knowledge is in the plugins, and both these in combination communicate with the resources being managed and orchestrate or, you know, from the command asked through the API. So we took a deeper look into the VM deployment process. I guess one of the hints that we had was that it works fine on NFS, doesn't work so fine on SolidFire. So we tried to look a bit deeper into which parts of the deployment process need to talk to SolidFire. So the thing to highlight in this picture is the call to allocate volumes. There's a number of places in the sort of deployment process where we call the SolidFire driver. We had to like do a couple of sessions and debug with the customer to see where the slowdown actually was. It turned out that the problem was the way in which we computed the storage or the total storage that's currently being provisioned and storage available. In the case of NFS, this is a simple look at how big the file system is. In the case of SolidFire, this is not as simple. The way that it was implemented is we look up to see all of the volumes that are being provisioned, all of the snapshots that are associated with them, all of the templates that are in your storage, and we add up the space used by each of them, which should be a simple database lookup. But unfortunately, the way that it was implemented, it resulted in a really large number of database queries. So for some reason, they were just querying each volume separately, each snapshot separately, and each template separately. So the fix was essentially to do a bit of refactor. I guess for developers, it's a fairly standard sort of code smell to have like a constant number of database calls when you're trying to do something, instead of, you know, increasing number of data calls as your deployment grows in size. Once we sort of just did a single query to the database for each type, and then we added up the storage and memory, the issue went away. We were, you know, having fast provisioning with both NFS and SolidFire. Another issue that was reported was the...
Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
The previous bug, have you sent a pull request to fix this upstream?
Yeah, you merged it, you approved it.
Okay. I was just checking because there are a bunch of storage pull requests we got, but I don't... I think in the pull request, the stuff you have described was not obvious in the...
Yeah, I have some sort of not very clear descriptions in some of them. Had to do with some refactoring for the presentation, but hopefully it's clear enough.
May I also pose just two brief questions?
Yes, sir.
First question, Mike messed this up, so he won't get a bill from my side. And the second question, for which hypervisor did you actually have this issue?
So we had this with KVM.
KVM?
Yeah. I think the most of the examples that I've shown are KVM specific. So another issue that was reported was that a customer was not able to start Windows VMs with a certain number of IDE disks. So this was sort of like a interesting sort of example as well. It was working fine with NFS, not working with SolidFire. Similar type of investigation was done in terms of finding out where in the call flow the issue could be. In this case, it turned out the issue was when we were talking to the KVM agent. So a couple of sort of caveats with this issue. The issue was only happening when they tried to create a VM from an ISO template, not a regular template. So the difference between an ISO template and a regular template is ISO templates are supposed to be hypervisor agnostic, whereas a regular template is specific to a hypervisor. So in a regular template, you can specify which disk controller you want, which network controller you want. In the ISOs, you don't have this option. So the way that the implementation gets around the difference is specifically in KVM, we try to guess the sort of hardware associated with an ISO based on the operating system string. There's a bunch of logic in the KVM agent which kind of looks up your OS string and tries to determine which controller to use. There was no option for Windows, and it defaulted to using an IDE disk. Normally, it would be fine, except in KVM and Chemu, you can only have one IDE controller. So you can only have a limited number of disks attached to it. So if you go over that limit, basically your VM provisioning was failing.
That's secure on Windows PV as well.
I think.
I thought this was the three that we were. I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys had a similar issue.
It was someone else. Yeah.
Okay.
The I believe what Sam is asking is that the issue. That's a question actually. It's not applicable for Windows PV.
Right.
It's only applicable for regular Windows, which does assume ID.
Exactly. So if. Yeah. So if you had Windows PV. If you had a string matching Windows PV in your OS list and you selected that, then it would know what to do. And it would not use IDE.
But why was here a difference between SolidFire and NFS? I didn't get it.
Yeah, just getting to that. So there, yeah, like that was kind of like, you know, stumped us as well. It turns out the KVM agent code is also quite retro. That's my euphemism for cloud stack things.
That's a nice word.
there was basically a specific logic to do something different when we were using file-based storage as opposed to a different type of storage. So when we were using file-based storage and we didn't know how to determine the disk controller, what would logic was that the root disk would be IDE and any additional disks would be Virtio. So at least your VM would come up and then you can install the drivers and make a Virtio work. So what we did was we implemented the same sort of heuristic for managed storage. So if we see a raw disk, we make the root one IDE and then we the additional ones would be Virtio.
But that whole logic is actually broken because, you know, you're using IDE, which is a total
Which is so legacy.
Disaster performance for operating
right?
system.
Yeah.
It boots forever, it operates forever, mm-hmm. and all stuff. And then the other disks are Virtio, which kind of assumes that you install Virtio drivers first, and then if you did so in the template, then why in the first place do you actually
have Virtio for everything,
IDE?
Right?
You just substring your image.
I understand that the
yeah, we kind of were too afraid of to break people who don't support Virtio. But yeah, something that needs to be addressed for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the other PR that I saw, the enlightenment features.
I was trying to understand, to kind of advise, which was also
it was, yeah, I was breaking something for them. Yeah. Well. Yeah. All right. So hopefully, you know, at this point we're ready to see some storage integration automation stuff. So as is the trend with DevOps, we want to get feedback faster so that we can change things faster and develop faster. One of the sort of requirements that we were targeting was to be able to fix issues faster when we had a customer report an issue. One of the things that was kind of at least a challenge for me is to get like an environment going that matches the customer's deployment. And it would help a lot if this was automated. Another requirement that we had was that we need to support three types of hypervisors: Zen Server, KVM, and VMware. Ideally, we'd want to deploy these environments on the fly, do our work, and then, you know, get rid of them, so that, you know, we don't waste too many resources on this. One of the solutions that was in solving this kind of issue was Trillion. Trillion is in sort of automation. What? Question? No. Automation created by the guys, our friends over at ShapeBlue. Essentially, it fulfilled the requirement of creating test environments on demand. It leveraged VMware because VMware is the only one right now that can support all the other hypervisors nested inside of it. And it also proposed a mechanism to allocate or to sort of manage the networking between the nested environment and the parent environment, which is kind of one of the challenges when you have hypervisors inside of hypervisors and you want to have the same or support most of the functionality that you had before. This is a picture of what a Trillion deployment looks like. So there are two parts here, as you can see, the two colors. The bottom is sort of the management side of things. It consists of a parent CloudStack environment and a Trillion server. So the Trillion basically talks to the parent and has the parent create nested CloudStacks that you see at the top. The network scheme that was used to kind of address the networking issues was to use a shared network. So we had two shared networks, a management network and a public network. And Trillion would track sort of the slices of the network that were allocated to each of the nested environments. So these are sort of the things that we had to use to set up our lab automation. We had two VMware hosts. We had a vCenter. That's how CloudStack talks to VMware. It talks to vCenter, and vCenter actually manages the VMware hosts. We had to manually install the parent CloudStack. We used an NFS store for our nested environments. We had to provision the two shared networks. And we also had to have the virtual forms of the storages that we were testing against. So we were supporting SolidFire, so we had a virtual SolidFire. This is just a visualization of the previous slide. The tricky part in getting this to work was the networking. On the KVM host, the networking setup is fairly standard. It's sort of quite well documented in CloudStack. You have two Ethernet cards connecting to your two networks. All of your VMs have virtual interfaces that are connected to a Linux bridge. If we zoom out a bit, we have sort of a network scheme of the lab setup. So there are a couple of key things that are needed to have this work. One of them is to have trunk networks. Trunk networks basically pass through all VLANs going through them. I'm not the best person to explain this network setup. I had a lot of help in order to set this up, and I still don't completely understand it. But maybe I'll try to write a blog post or something with more detail, more granular detail. Sorry?
Neither do we.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
If you need help with it, just take
me because he's the brain.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
Invented it.
Cool, yeah. I can't even describe it. It just works somehow. So one of the issues that we had, like, all of this was working. Basically, in the last stage of the trillion, we bring up our zone. And after that, basically, we need our system VMs to talk to our nested management server. So this part wasn't working. And the way that we made it to work, I guess the missing functionality that we were missing was, I was explained to this by a networking person, I don't know if this is a real word. He said I needed layer 2 routing. I've heard of layer 3 switching, but apparently there's a thing called layer 2 routing. So I needed a way to communicate between the two VLANs, the management and the public. And our workaround to make this work was to enable promiscuous mode in VMware. So our op requests would propagate between the two VLANs and things could talk to each other. But yeah, I'm going to talk to Paul a bit later to get some insight. Okay. So, yeah. More details in the next talk. And yeah, finally, we want to have Trillion incorporated in some sort of CI pipeline. So a typical sort of ideal workflow would be whenever there's a new change in CloudStack, your CI pipeline would kick off the build process, run the unit tests, build the packages, push them off to Yum repo, and then kick off Trillion. Trillion would pick up these packages from the Yum repo, create a lab environment. Once the environment is up, it would run some Marvin tests. In our case, specifically, we want SolidFire tests to be run. Once they're done, it's going to send a report and attach it to your pull request or merge request. So this exists today. I think ShapeBlue guys maintain Blue Orangutan. Yeah. This essentially is a similar workflow to that. I guess I'm feeling a bit idealistic today, but it will be cool to have maybe a red orangutan that that someone can call if they want to run solid fire tests. It would be really cool if there was a sort of way for people to contribute their test infrastructure that's specific to their specific CloudStack deployment. And anyone who wants to use their sort of setup or contribute to them, they could call their particular color of orangutan and have their tests run that way. That, I think... Yeah.
There is a there's a guy on a project named Winston.
Okay.
Because it fixes things. And then that will sit there overall and be able to dish out tests based on what they call the proper names of when offers on there. And say, I have this infrastructure, I want to run tests that that infrastructure can run.
Mm-hmm.
And then multiple people can then take on a bunch of tests and we can spread that, distribute that testing out. But it's no small project.
Yeah, lots of moving pieces for sure.
Gets in the way of the time it takes to sit down, design that, and then get it up and running. And also to make it organizationally agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Means you've got to find somewhere to run the compute and storage of that side.
True.
No particular organization owns.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's quite a challenge. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely want to know about the scheme that you guys have in the works. That's all I have for you guys today. I'm open to any questions. I know I might have glossed over many details. Like I said at the beginning, still CloudStack, relatively new to CloudStack, so I may have lied a bit in some places. But yeah, we're all learning together. Hope you guys, thank you for your time this afternoon. Hope you guys were able to take away something from this talk. And yeah, if you guys have any questions, I'm open. I don't know if there's any questions in the Google tool there.
I've got a quick one. So what version at the moment is the latest one of CloudStack you've tested against? Did you test against the 4.13
So, the one that I have working was 4.12. I haven't actually have the whole thing run the automation using 4.13. I've done a few patches, and I've had like a partial 4.13 test, but haven't really run the whole set of tests. Any other questions?
Sir,
yes.
Sort of review of the storage subsystem.
Mm-hmm.
There was a slide that was about that briefly touched upon a very high level overview of the plugin system and how different functionality like features, data version service, snapshot service, volume service, how they kind of translated and how you could extend and implement the plugin.
Right.
What is your opinionated view on what you saw? Do you think the storage subsystem and the storage plugin framework is good enough? Do you see any issues with that around refactoring, fixing? Because the last storage refactoring we had was about close to six years ago when we Edison Sue actually was.
Maybe just go back to that picture.
So Edison Sue at that time had taken the lead on implementing the storage plugin framework.
Right.
And then Mike came around, and I think he made a lot of changes in the subsystem so that solid file plugin could be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't had a storage person in the community, who can actually maintain the framework, not the plugin,
but all the supporting stuff
around it. Storage orchestration, but how the orchestration talks to provisioning and the code base around that, the framework,
right?
All that. What's your opinion on that?
That's a good question. I mean, I haven't had to develop the storage plugin from scratch, so I might not have seen all of the issues that were there. I guess my generic sort of answer is there's a lot of, I think I'm quoting you on this. There's a lot of technical debt in CloudStack that needs to be addressed eventually. That said, yeah, even while implementing the SolidFire plugin, a lot of things had to be changed in the core in order to be able to support functionality that we wanted to implement or take advantage of in SolidFire. So, I guess my kind of opinionated way, maybe I'm showing my age. I'm more of a microservices type person. I guess in a monolith, the boundaries between different things are less obvious and less enforced with less sort of force. So, yeah, like the generic answer is lots of room for refactoring, but you know, definitely leads
did
more
you
work.
Guys work on the Datera plugin? Because I saw pull requests from on adding support. For
yeah, Syed like
Syed
was.
And I think Will was also.
Yeah, they've done
the
Datera plugin. Yeah. And actually, there was another. There's a recent one. The Ticketmaster guys are waiting for the sort of multi-tenant features in the Datera plugin that we use in cloud.ca. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have a specific answer because I haven't spent enough time like developing
but
something.
But do you think Will or Syed actually worked on that Datera plugin, or were they mostly advising on that? Because that plugin is new, right? That code base and everything is new. So wasn't implementing something.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was definitely Syed who did like a big chunk of the work in that plugin.
So I did a ton of work as well, Mike, later on.
Yeah.
It affects a lot of issues, I think, in the underlying architecture as well. Mm-hmm. Is that random?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess like I just like to conclude by saying that, you know, if we have some sort of easy way to test changes, and if we, I guess there have been, you know, much improvements in the way CloudSec's developed recently. We have shorter release cycles. As long as we iterate fast enough, we should be able to coax the architecture into a kind of, you know, more easy to use, easy to consume, and easy to contribute to. Any other questions?
Yeah. So is there a list anywhere of like this, the solidifier features that CloudSec supports?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if there's any official documentation. Maybe the SolidFire guys have it. Yeah, the way that I've learned about the features is by looking at the pull request, like, basically. Yeah. Cool.